There's his restorative will, and that is his ultimate plan to restore all things under the authority of Christ. That Adam lost a lot. When you go back and read Genesis chapter 1-3, Adam lost a whole lot. And God has willed that he's going to restore everything that Adam lost under Christ. God's redemptive will, and that is that he purposes to redeem fallen humanity. God says that he's going to save those who are lost. So that's his redemptive will.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies. After you decide the will of God in gray areas, from our series, Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of How Do You Decide the Will of God in Gray Areas?
You and the will of God. You and the will of God. We see that there is a scripture in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12 where Paul is writing and he says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer. Notice, he is always wrestling in prayer. Now this idea of wrestling, you know, probably doesn't mean that, well, you know, I pray once a week or once a month. But the fact that it says he is always wrestling in prayer means that there's an intense struggle that's going on as he prays. And he says that you might stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. That you would understand God's will for your life in every area. And that, first of all, when we read this verse, we see that God has a will for your life. That God has not left you here to kind of grope through life and try to, you know, figure this thing out on your own. But he has a will for your life. And he has a purpose for your life. And I love the second part. And he wants you to reach the full maturity of his will. He wants you to understand, even in your daily decisions, that he has plans and purposes, and that you might understand what those plans and purposes are. Fully mature in his will. Now, we've been answering questions, and these are some of the questions that we've been answering. What is the will of God? You know, we answered that the first week, and we said that God's will is his determined purpose. The things that God determines to do, that's his will. And we said sometimes that's based on his sovereignty, and then sometimes it's based on our free will. And people might look at it and say, oh, well, how can you have it both ways? Well, the scripture says very clearly that God is in the heavens and he does as he pleases. That there are some things that God has decided to do, and no matter what, he's going to accomplish his will. And then there are things that depend on human response. And I give the example about Nineveh. God said that he was going to judge the whole city of Nineveh, but Nineveh repented and God took away the judgment. And so God's will was to spare them, but had they not repented, he would not have spared them. So that what is the will of God? And then we see that God has clearly revealed his will. What has God clearly revealed as his will? And we said that there's three things. And I probably don't have to say it. Y'all can probably say it for me, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyways. You know, God's will is that you be saved, sanctified, and spirit-filled. No question. You don't have to pray about that. You don't have to fast over that. That God's will is that you be saved, sanctified. You know, I like the way the Pentecostals say it, right? Saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Isn't that the way, Dr. Jones? That's what they say, right? All right. So they got something right there. You know, they hit the nail on the head, right? Because that's his will for every individual. And then how do you discover the will of God in your life? We talked about that last week. You know, how do you discover, you know, God's will if, you know, as to what job he wants you to have? You know, where he wants you to go to school at? I was sharing last week that, you know, when to retire, right? That's, you know, we want to do that in God's time. We want to do that in His will. So last week we talked about how do you come and how do you find the will of God, you know, in those areas of your life. Now, this is something today we're going to look at how do you decide the will of God in the gray areas. So we're going to talk about that today. But here's one, a whole message that I'm going to add. How do you use the word of God to find the will of God? So, you know, we're going to talk about that, you know, because a lot of people are trying to say that they're doing something that's God's will, and really they've misinterpreted scripture, they've misapplied scripture, they've read their own purposes in the scripture. And so we're going to spend a whole message just on how do you use the word of God to determine the will of God. Does God have a perfect and permissive will? And then what are some indicators that you are not in the will of God? So these are some of the questions that we have been asking, and we're going to continue to ask as we go through this series. Four aspects of God's will, four aspects. There's His restorative will, and that is His ultimate plan to restore all things under the authority of Christ. That Adam lost a lot. When you go back and read Genesis chapter 1-3, Adam lost a whole lot. And God has willed that He's going to restore everything that Adam lost under Christ. God's redemptive will, and that is that He purposes to redeem fallen humanity. God says that He's going to save those who are lost. So that's His redemptive will. Now, we've been focusing on that's probably most relevant to us is His revealed will and His relative will. Well, what is His revealed will? That's what He's revealed in His word, right? There are things that He's revealed in His word that we don't have to pray about, we don't have to ask questions about, but He has revealed it in His word. And then His relative will is what He purposes for us as individuals. So that's what we've been looking at. Today, we are going to, look at the revealed and relative wills of God and deal with this question. Now, again, keep in mind that we said His revealed will, that you be saved, sanctified, spirit-filled, that's for everybody. That's for everybody that His will is that you walk in these areas. But then there's His relative will, and that's His purpose as it relates to each individual, as it relates to each individual. So we want to look at today the will of God in the gray areas. The will of God in the gray areas. And what are the gray areas? The gray areas are those places that are unclear, those things that we might not be clear on. Now, keep in mind, if you go to that next slide, three questions, right, that'll help us. Three questions. One, what has God required? Right? What has God required? So when we understand what He's required in His word, that's not unclear, right? That's not unclear. What has God forbidden in His word? As we understand that, there's no question about that. And then, here we go. What are we free to think through and process to glorify God? So, when we look at what has He required, when you look at marriage, God has definitely put down in His word characteristics, qualifications, requirements for marriage. And if you go back and read Genesis chapter 2, 18 through 24, you see the requirements that He has for marriage, a man and a woman, right? That's, you know, that's His requirements. You know, there's no other wiggle room. There's no getting around that. You know, what has God required for marriage? What has God required for creation, right? So, I mean, for us as Christians, there should be no question about creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right, so there should be no question about that. You know, that shouldn't be anything that we have to go pray about. That shouldn't be anything that we have to go seek God on. That's something that is very clearly required in the Word of God. What has God forbidden? Again, we look at abortion. God has forbidden abortion in His Word. Exodus 20 and verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. Well, you look at the word kill. Actually, it means murder. Thou shalt not murder. Adultery. You shouldn't commit adultery. God's very clear about that. You know, stealing. God is clear that you shouldn't steal. Lying. No doubt about that. God says that you shouldn't lie. Fornication. And for those of you who might not know what that means, sex outside of marriage. God is very clear that you shouldn't do that. Same-sex intercourse. God is very clear that that's something that you shouldn't do. So, you know, as the choir sings a song, God has spoken. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. So when we come to these gray areas, what has God required? What has God forbidden? We understand that. Now, what are some areas now that we have to kind of think through and reason to see whether or not this is God's will for our life? And as you go down some of the, and let me say this, that the list is not exhaustive. So, you know, am I saying that these are the only things. One of the reasons that I chose these, as many of you know, I'm a part of a group of pastors. We come on hard questions. And there seems to be a recurring theme of questions that we are asked. That when people write in or call in, or sometimes they go out in the street and they interview people, there seems to be a common thread that runs through some of the questions that we get over and over again. So I've kind of put these up there to say that these fall into the gray areas. And how do we determine whether or not, you know, we need to participate, not participate? How do we understand what we are supposed to do? And so again, a lot of these things are individual, that some people may feel comfortable doing them, and others maybe not so much. But here are some. Secular music. You know, should you as a believer listen to secular music? Now, y'all already know. No. dancing. You know, is it okay to dance, right? I remember when I pastored in the country that, you know, I would do a wedding, and then afterwards I'd go to a reception, and everybody be sitting there having a good time. And I didn't know this, but they were actually waiting for the pastor to leave. And the reason they were waiting for the pastor to leave is because then that's when they were going to get out on the dance floor and shake a leg, all right? But I came to Pittsburgh, and the Christians, y'all don't care. Y'all be doing electric slide and, you know, all this. You know, so, you know, that's something that, you know, people, you know, question. Drinking alcohol, gambling, tattoos, smoking. Mixed swimming, one that we're dealing with a lot today, vaccines. Here goes one that we get quite often. As a matter of fact, I got to go on hard questions this Thursday, and this question came up again. Attending a same-sex wedding, should I, as a believer, you know, should I go? And I realize that many of us have already kind of, you know, determined, you know, our position on that, but, you know, there's some people that are still trying to work their way through that. So let's get into some questions to ask as we try to decide, you know, what is God's will in the gray area. So the first question that needs to be asked, and actually it goes back to the previous chart where it says what God has required and what God has forbidden. And so the first question is, does it violate God's revealed will, the law of God? Does it violate the law of God? Things that God has already said clearly, things that are clear in the Word of God, does it violate that? And James says this, for whoever keeps the entire law, And it's when it says the law of God, you know, God's commands, God's ordinances. For whoever keeps the entire law and yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking it all. So you have to ask yourself the question, again, is it clear in God's word? You know, what I'm dealing with, am I praying about committing adultery? Well, that's clear in God's word. No. You know, you can't commit adultery. You know, should I steal or should I lie? You know, that's very clear in the word of God. No, you shouldn't. Well, what about dancing? Well, that's not as clear. So, you know, we need to be able to work our way through it. Now, you know, maybe for some people it might be clear. You know, they might say, well, the word of God says that. Well, you know, again, I guess maybe what you need to do is pray that the Lord would call you to pastor and preach so that when you preach on the will of God, you can list the subjects that you think are quite. All right, here goes one. Is it spiritually beneficial? Does it build me up? Notice these two scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. You know, it doesn't, it's not for my spiritual edification. That there might be a lot of things that I can do, but I have to ask the question, is it for my spiritual edification? Paul says again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23, everything is permissible, but not everything builds up. Not everything builds up. When I got saved, when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, and I loved the Lord, and I gave my heart to him, and when I got saved, I had probably, and my wife will testify to this, I had probably one of the greatest collection of 70s music that a person ever wanted to have. And they were all on vinyl, right? Smokey, Temptations, Rare Earth, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Oh man, I could go on and on and on. And when I got saved, the Lord spoke to my heart clearly and said, you need to get rid of all your music. And I gave it all away. Albums that I had collected from man, back in the 60s. Right? All the way up until I gave it all away. Because, and then years later, after I grew in the Lord, I had to go back and have a little sit down talk with the Lord and say, now Lord, why did you tell me to give away all my albums? You know, I don't understand that now, Lord. And the Lord said to me, because at that time, whoo! It was not spiritually beneficial. You could listen to it. Bill, you could have listened to it. But it was not spiritually beneficial for you. That the culture that I came out of, getting high, partying, that God knew at that time for me. I'm not saying for you. I'm saying for me that I had to make a clean break. Because if I kept dibbing and dabbling, you know, I think that, you know, I would have probably continued to struggle with my Christian growth. And so God spoke to me. And so at that time, I didn't ask the question, but at that time I could have asked the question, is this spiritually beneficial for you? And the answer clearly would have been no. You can't do this. You know? Now, I mean, I can listen to it. Now let me go to my next point, right? I gotta make sure now that as I listen to it, I gotta ask this question, will it bring me into bondage? Right? Will I become a slave now to listening to secular music. And as you deal with trying to find the will of God in these gray areas, let me go back, because I wanted to say this. I wrote this down when the choir was singing. They sang a song, "Looking Unto Jesus, the Author and the Finisher of Our Faith." Right? You know what struck me? The whole song, and all the songs they sing, I listened to the words. But these words jumped out at me. Whatever it is that's keeping you from serving Jesus, put it off. Put it off. Whatever it is that's keeping you from serving Jesus, put it off. So go back, Jeff, to that slide before. Whatever it is it beneficial? Does it build me up? If it's hindering my service to the Lord, put it off. Put it off. Is it causing me to be in bondage? And, sometimes we have to be careful because, there are things that cause us to be in bondage. I think a lot of video games, can cause us to become in bondage where, we can't live our life unless, we're playing the video, unless we're playing a video game. And so, you have to ask yourself the question, we know that if you're on drugs, right, and you step away from drugs, man, you're going to have all kind of withdrawal symptoms, right? It's going to be a struggle, if you try to leave the drugs alone. And I wonder if they took your video games away for a couple of days. Some people would go crazy because they're so connected to their devices. They're so connected to their technology that they would have withdrawal symptoms. And so, you have to ask the question, and it's a simple question. Is this something that's going to bring me into bondage? Am I going to become a slave to the thing that I'm struggling with? Yeah, it may be permissible for me, but will it bring me into bondage? I'll say this, and some of you may not agree with what I'm getting ready to say, but I think that even drinking alcohol. Now, a lot of pastors probably condemn me because as I read the scripture, I don't necessarily see anything wrong with drinking alcohol. All right. Now, again, I think there's no question. Drunkenness is a sin. There's no question about that. And so you got to look at the fact of, if you're drinking, is this going to bring you into bondage? Is this something that's going to become a stronghold in your life? And if it is, you can't do it, right? That's why, a person that has been an alcoholic, they probably don't need to drink alcohol because they already got the struggle from the past, and now, and they've been in bondage to alcohol, and they don't want to put themselves back in to this bondage.
Thank you for Kurt and Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How Do You Decide the Will of God in Gray Areas? If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How Do You Decide the Will of God in Gray Areas? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How Do You Decide the Will of God in Gray Areas? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How Do You Decide the Will of God in Gray Areas? From our series, Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series is made available by request. When you visit our site, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books, For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution, Kurt in Jesus, at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.